Praise God. Are we ready today? Are we ready? It's going to come whether you're ready or not. You know, I remember when we were kids, we used to play hide and go seek. We'd count. Then we'd say, ready or not, here we come. Ready or not, he's going to come. Ready or not, he's going to come. So God wants his church, his body, to be prepared to be ready, you know. So today, we'll just open your Bibles with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. If you need a Bible, slip up your hand and usher will get you one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Praise God. Roy, he usually comes with a Dallas Cowboy hat or something on. Another Cowboy fan, don't worry. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when I was looking at this for today, and I was spending time with the Lord, and he was just really speaking to my heart about in Proverbs 4:7, where the Word of God says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. And the Lord was speaking to me about knowledge. There's so much knowledge in the Word, and there's so much knowledge in the body of Christ. But knowledge that isn't applied never becomes wisdom. You can have all the knowledge of the world, and it wouldn't benefit you a thing for the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 3:19, God's word declares is the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. God's word, not my word. So as we were looking, I was looking at this text and searching what the Lord wanted to say. There's three things you find in the chapter of Matthew 25. You find a message. Then he speaks about our money or our means, and then he speaks about ministry. But I want to look at the message today, the message that God wants to speak to the house of God. Recognize who it's addressed to. It's addressed to the church. It's addressed to the body of Christ. It's addressed to the bride of Christ. And as a child of God, you and I are the bride of Christ. So we're going to open up with Matthew 25. We begin to read with verse number 1. The Word of God says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a great cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us in you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Today I want to focus your attention for the message this morning to verse number 7 and verse number 8, where the Word of God says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. This morning I want to speak to you about the flow. The title of the message is The Flow. I want you to understand that the flow determines the glow. Pretty simple, right? An acrostic The Bible says there was five wise and there was five foolish. An acrostic for the word flow. Five had full lamps of wisdom, and the other five had a fool's lack of wisdom. Full lamps of wisdom or a fool's lack of wisdom? In other words, wisdom is knowledge applied. Knowledge applied. If we don't take the word and give application to it, it never becomes wisdom. So I want to speak to you about the flow, and the 3 points I want to make out of our text this morning is, one, a call to wake up, two, a call to examine ourselves, and three, a call to be ready. Ready? Are we ready? Ready or not, here it comes. Smile, Jesus loves you. Hey, the word isn't here to beat you up today. The word is here to build you up, to encourage you, and to comfort you to be the man and woman that God has called you to be. God isn't happy with complacency. God isn't happy with apathy. God, all these virgins, the church basically is asleep. God's saying, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. It's time. It's time for the church to arise. Amen. And so we pray today as the word goes forth, it'll accomplish everything that the Lord sent it to the house to do. That he'll encourage each and every one of us that have gathered here today. So can we lift our word together and make a declaration in the house today? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me for this day and this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So, Father, I pray, Father God, Lord, I pray, Father, that you get me out of the way. Lord, not my plan, not my intentions, but your will, your plan. Father, speak to this vessel today. Speak to each and every one that's gathered here. And may there not be one in the body that is left out. May each and every one that's gathered here today be ministered to by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and you'll receive all the honor and you'll receive the praise. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Five foolish and five wise. Gather shoes. Hallelujah. Praise God. First it said all those virgins arose. In other words, there's a time to wake up. Look to your neighbor and say, God wants you and I to wake up and smell the coffee. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so many of you, when they wake up in the morning, the aroma of the coffee wakes you up. God wants you to smell the aroma of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to wake up the church. It's stronger and it smells better than any coffee you can drink. When God's aroma fills the house, there's an aroma that fills the place. It's like the rose of Sharon. He's the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. When the Lord comes in the place, you sense his presence. You can smell the aroma. And God is saying, to these virgins or the body of Christ, it's time simply to wake up. Kara was sharing with me yesterday. Is she in here? Gaith is not in here either. Kara was sharing with me that she has a special alarm clock, it's Gaither's voice and says, Carol, get up! And that's all the Lord is saying to you and I, just simply in love and grace. Man, God operates in grace. He's just encouraging you and I to wake up to see the time that we're in and that His return is drawing closer than it ever was before. Amen. So to begin this today about waking up, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pray that we smell some Holy Ghost coffee. Amen. For some of you, it would probably be Holy Ghost Starbucks. There's a new name for it. It's called $6. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? You think back over the time that somebody would be paying $6 for a cup of coffee. Amen. My wife and I, we use Maxwell House. It's good to the last drop. Amen. We've been using Maxwell House for a lot of years. But Maxwell House does not wake me up. Huh? If Maxwell House woke me up, then I would drink Maxwell House in bed. I would have me a little hose running there, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, it would open it up and it would feed me, and I would get up. But what wakes me up is the sun wakes me up. When the sun comes up, it wakes me up. And the sun I'm talking about today is the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. The sun has come to wake us up. Hallelujah. But the Word of God says in Ephesians 5, verse number 13, the Word of God says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever do make it manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye then walk circumspectly, or alert, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, whereas excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Just as that Starbucks or that coffee wakes you up in the morning, the body of Christ needs to be woken up. Now, he says, be not drunk with wine. Now, if you're a drinker of wine and you get intoxicated, you're going to come down. And you're going to have to drink wine again to get intoxicated. And God was saying that the body of Christ is depending and relying on a one-time filling. In other words, you can't live on what Christ did yesterday. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. It means that we need to come to the fountain and be refilled daily. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you could see me in the Spirit, you would see I have leaks. If I was carrying fluid, there'd be water flowing out all around me because I leak. So because I leak out and pour out, I've got to constantly have a source pouring in. And the body of Christ has depended on past so long that they get tired and they get worn out because they're trying to work on their own strength and their own ability instead of being connected to the source. Amen. Hallelujah. Smile, Jesus loves you. Amen? You know, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 60, verse 1, he said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Rise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine. You know, God is telling the church, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Darkness is covering this earth and gross darkness to people, but the light is shining upon them. His glory shall be seen upon them, upon thee, if you're connected to the source of glory. Who is this King of glory? You know that song? Well, I'm going to save y'all. I'm not going to sing it to you. Not my gift. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue, if you continue, if you continue, if you continue, it's a continuation. You know, this isn't a one-time event. This is a continuation. You know, I know that when I use my phone and I use this iPhone and I search and I go on the web or internet and I go out. Now this phone loses its power. The battery runs out and I have to recharge it. Amen? If I don't recharge the phone isn't going to operate. It's not going to work. No matter what I try to do to it, I can be mad at it, I can hit it, I can throw it, but without the energy, without the power, it's not going to work. And God is saying the same thing with you and I, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Without being connected to the source, it will not work. Hello? He was saying something to me. He was saying that as we gather together as a body, it was just an illustration in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about the body of Christ being different parts operating and working together. That all of us have something that we're bringing into the house of God. You know, and even though I have a part, I need the body to support my part. In other words, let's say if I'm the finger, and I'm disconnected with the body, even though I got the gift and I'm a finger. Only thing I can do is point at people. I can point, that's all I can do. What can a finger do without the body? But when that finger is connected to the hand can grab a hold of something. The hand can do many other things it can do. And even if that finger is missing, the body suffers because of it. God wants us to understand that we're a vital part of the body of Christ. Every last one of us. And we all have a part. Amen? And so he wants us to wake up and understand and bring our part to the house so that we can reach out. You know what we do in the world? We share the gospel. What we do in here is we raise up disciples. Amen? If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? Remember, there's 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. They're all virgins. The foolish wasn't applying the word. Their source was drained. They did not have any light. They were outward things, but there was no inward light to keep them going. Amen? You know, again, that acrostic is a full lamp of wisdom or a fool's lack of. Wisdom is knowledge applied. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. So I can clarify this point. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Amen. In other words, what he is saying is he wants us, the church, to wake up and recognize and bring your part, bring your gifts into the house to be a benefit to new believers so that we can keep multiplying the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, we're not growing Great is Freedom Ministries. We're growing the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We're all gathered together as one body so that we can all function and minister, and so that the gifts will be in operation, so that the body will be edified, the body will be exhorted, and the body will be comforted. I don't have all the gifts. I have some gifts. God works through me in some gifts, and he works through you in some gifts. Amen? So what he is saying is, as we bring all of our gifts to the house, amen, the body gets built up. It gets encouraged. Amen? Just remember that the Word of God says, and the Word of God says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men and women of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as God's speaking through his word, he's encouraging us. Amen? He's encouraging us. The pastor isn't here to beat you up and say, hey, you're not doing this or you're not doing that. That's between you or God, you and God. You don't have to answer to me for anything. You and I will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just like these 10 virgins, that 5 were foolish and 5 were wise, they will stand before the King of Kings. God doesn't call me to ask you or make you do anything. God speaks to everyone, all right? The veil has been torn from top to bottom. You don't need me to go to Jesus for you. But God wants us to clearly hear the word. He says you'll know the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free. And in other words, when we're standing here speaking, we have to speak the truth. Amen? Are you with me? So first he said all the 10 virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And that's the place where a call to examine ourselves. And if you look at a lamp, and a lamp that's burning and has a wick, and the end of the wick is burnt up, that light that comes from that lamp will be dull. It has to be trimmed up. And as you trim off the dead, it burns brighter and it shines better and it burns cleaner than the thing. And as God's word comes forth, as we examine ourselves, as we let the Holy Spirit speak to each and every one of us, we allow the Holy Spirit to cut things away out of our lives. We allow him to trim our lamps. We allow him to do the work. We can't do it. I can't do it. It's God's job. God didn't give me the job to change anybody. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. Our responsibility is to teach the truth, to share the truth. And as the Holy Spirit ministers and you're in the presence of God's word, the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts. The Holy Spirit's the one that ministers. The Holy Spirit's the one that touches the heart and the lives. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's up to you and I. Rather, we submit, you know. Hey, I'm not always done everything that the Holy Spirit told me to do, you know. There were some things that the Holy Spirit in my life was trying to get out of my life and clean up out of my life, and I didn't want to let it go, you know. And we're again, it's the Lord's work, not ours. So look with me in 2 Corinthians 13. As Paul was writing, in verse number 5, he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Because I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. In other words, all God is asking you and I to do as his children is to align our lives with the truth. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your good and reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In other words, this isn't Pastor Carl's will, it's God's will. It's not Pastor Carl's word, it's God's word. So as we're speaking the word, we're speaking the word to encourage you and I to be men and women that God's called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
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 See, you're mighty men and women of God. You're power-filled men and women of God. The anointing of God is in and on your lives. God's not going to change his mind. All he's asking you and I to do is get our lives and our minds according to his will and purpose. And as we do that, we'll start walking and operating and accomplishing the things that God has called us to do. Amen? Amen? Look at the one next to you and say, hey, you're more than a conqueror. Through Christ that strengthens you. You can do all things. Through Christ. Stop limiting yourself. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen. 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 You see, there's five of those virgins were wise. They were applying the word of God to their lives. Even though there was a tarrying, there was a waiting, and they kind of nodded off. He woke them up and they were ready. But five weren't ready. They weren't alert. They didn't have that wisdom flowing, the word of God, the knowledge of God that they could apply to their lives. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 27, he said, but I keep under my body and I bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. Now I see, in the NFL and the training camp, you have all these athletes. All these athletes are exercising, they're training, they're working out. They're bringing their body in subjection so they can be good athletes. And Jesus and his word and through the Apostle Paul talks about us being in a race and almost like in a contest, but we have to bring our spiritual bodies under subjection to the word of God. Amen? We've got to be exercised and ready and ready to fight a good fight. Amen? Amen. And because, you know, even as Jesus is showing up at midnight in our text, that's when the adversary comes in. He comes over in the midnight hour. And sometimes he comes in and it seems real dark and real dire. And there doesn't seem to be an answer. But if you're strengthened and you're equipped in the word of God, it only lasts for a moment. It only lasts for a moment. That doesn't mean that we won't go through some things in this life. That doesn't mean that we won't go through some trials and we won't go through some tribulation and we won't go through some tests in this life. But it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment because the holy man, the word of God arises inside of you. It rises inside of you and comes out of you that you're a man of God, that you're mighty, that you're a woman of God, that you've got power to overcome every weapon the enemy he's tried to form against you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Amen. That doesn't mean they will not come. You're going to go through some things in this life, but God says be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Amen. Amen. So, hey, what he is saying to you and I, hey, not only are we to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. But we're to examine ourselves. We're not to look at anyone else but us. Judge not, lest you be judged. Don't look at the mote that's in your brother's eye. Pull that plank out of your own eye. Pull that plank out of your own eye. Pull the plank out of your own eye. It's blocking your vision. So many times what we try to find is we find people that are less in faith than we are so that we can compare ourselves with them so that we can feel comfortable in our salvation. But what God says, he says, compare yourself with Jesus.
That's true, amen.
He sinned not. Ouch. Hello? Amen. Don't get into this lying deception of this world to tear someone down to build you up. Because when you tear somebody down, the one that you're really tearing down is yourself. You're not tearing down someone else, you're tearing down yourself. Amen. You know, hey, what did God say? He said that I'd rather you be cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm, I want to vomit you. Amen? Man, I can't wait. Church gets on, we all get on fire. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 Hallelujah. That's the way, Josh. Hallelujah. But you know something? Let me say this. The Holy Spirit said, you just looked at that child and you laughed. God said, that's just the way he wants to see you do. He doesn't want you to worry about what anybody else thinks. Hey, man, you know, if you're in here in the middle of worship and you feel like jumping up and down, if you feel like rolling, if you feel like shouting, do it and do it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, man, don't be caught up in what man thinks. Hey, man, I'd be more concerned about what God thinks. Hey, man. Thank you, Josh. Hallelujah. Come to him as a child. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. You know something about a child? When a child didn't get what they wanted, it doesn't stop them from asking and coming again to try to get it. Come on, come on. That child doesn't give up. And God says that some of you have been waiting and you've been accepting, some, expecting something from him. And because it didn't come, you gave up. Don't give up. Come to him like that child. Believe it that he'll do it and he will do it. Amen. Amen. That's what childlike faith's about. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank it for you, Josh. Hallelujah. Look with me in Galatians 6. The Word of God says in verse number 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. You know, I was looking at that, and down in the basement, in the center of this church, right down the center here, there's a steel beam that carries the weight of this whole center place of this building so you can have this open space. And this center beam, that steel beam, if you look at it, there's up on the right-hand side, there's an engineered stamp that stamped that it will carry the weight. It's been proved. It's been proved by heat and fire and tempered to carry weight. And that's what happens to you and I in the trials of life. We're tempered. Sometimes we go through fire. Sometimes we go through fire, but we're not burned. Neither does the flame kindle upon us. Amen. But we're tempered. But we're strengthened. But when we come through, we don't come through it the same way we entered it. We get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So that we can bear the weight. Remember that God says he will never allow more on you than you can bear. Amen? Amen? Sometimes, you know, like I shared with some people a few weeks ago when I was going through a trial, the Lord said he trusted me with that. And really, at the time, I just didn't want to say thank you. Oh, thanks, Lord. Thank you for that trial. Thank you for that. But I'm going to come through it stronger because my trust and my hope is in him. So no matter what we're going through, some people have to go through more so that they can be strengthened. But again, God will never allow more on you than you can bear. Did God do it?
No.
No, sin did it. Sin did most of the things that are in our health. Did God come here today and said, hey, you didn't listen to me, so I want to make you sick? No, come on. We have an adversary that's come to kill you and to steal everything you got and destroy your lives and your family. Amen. He brings sickness on. And when sickness comes, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord delivers them. The Lord delivers them out of them all. He'll carry it and he'll see it through. Amen. Man, he's a master builder. And when he's building something as precious as your life, he puts everything into it.
Yeah.
And he only has your well-being in mind. Your well-being and my well-being. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We're being transformed into the his son. We're following Jesus. Amen? So he says, what? There's a call to wake up. There's a call to examine. And thirdly, there's a call just simply to get ready. To get ready. And look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse number 10. We're talking about five wise, full lamps of wisdom, five foolish, a fool's lack of wisdom. Verse number 10 says in Ecclesiastes 9, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise. Nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered the same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Amen. Remember, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Amen. We have a call to wake up. We have a call to examine ourselves. And we have a call to get ready. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Ready or not, he is going to come. Amen. Look with me in Luke chapter 22, 21. Verse number 34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Surfeiting is overindulging. Overindulging in food. Overindulging in drink. Overindulging your flesh. Feeding your flesh and not your spirit man. And drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, that they come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Remember in Jesus in this parable, he said, hey, there was 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise virgins came in to the marriage feast. The 5 foolish, the door was shut and they weren't allowed to come in. Amen. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, what does the Apostle Paul say to you and I about the times and seasons we're in? Chapter 5, verse number 1 says, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye therefore are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was sharing with the body this morning that so many live on Fantasy Island. Fantasy Island. And the fantasy island that so many live in is Someday Isle. Is the name of that island. Someday Isle. Someday I'm going to do this. And someday I'm going to do that. Oh, someday I'm going to go this. And somewhere today I'm going to do this. But God says, today is the day that the Lord has made. Don't put off to tomorrow what you have in your power to do today. You're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day. Amen? So we're to put our hands to the plow today. Jesus said, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen? There's no looking back. I don't know about you, but if you're a farmer and you're looking back, you're going to have one ugly row. True. If you don't set you a point, I learned when my in-laws came and plowed our first garden. Now I wasn't a farmer and I never grew anything, but they plowed this, I don't know, about 3/4 of an acre of ground for us to have our first garden. Big garden. Big garden. And I had all these neat curvy rows. They almost looked like half moons. And the farmers and the people in the neighborhood says, well, what? That's really one ugly row there. I said, you don't understand. You get more in a curved row. In other words, I was trying to justify the curve, right? Like I planned to do that. The reason I had that curvy row is because I didn't have my eyes set on something. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. If you don't have your eyes on something, you're not going to be able to stay in a straight line for the kingdom of God. You're going to be off over here. You're going to be off over there. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. But all God says is keep your eye on the prize. Amen. And you know something? When our eyes on the prize, when we go through something, we can see past it and keep moving on. Amen. You know what happened to the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness? They had their eyes on their feet and said, the eyes on the Lord. They had their eyes on their feet. They were looking down. They weren't looking up to who our salvation comes. Amen. So in closing today, the most favorite words for the body of Christ. Proverbs 10. Verse number 28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Wise, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Foolish. The righteous shall never be removed. The wise. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The foolish. The mouth of the just shall bring forth wisdom. The wise. But the froward tongue shall be cut out. Foolish. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, wise, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. You know what God is saying to you and I is simply this in closing today. Wisdom, it's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Take the knowledge of God and let it be applied to your lives. See, there was five foolish and there was five wise. Five had a full lamp of wisdom. In other words, they just didn't know God's word, but they were applying the word and they were active. Five were foolish. They were waiting for that fantasy island, someday isle. But all of a sudden, there was a shout that the bridegroom comes. And they found themselves and they weren't prepared. God just says to you and I, his children, that every day that we live our lives, it should be as we're living our last day. Amen. We should be forgiving and loving, and we should let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. We should allow our gifts to be manifested and operating in the body of Christ, bringing life to everyone that comes through the door. Amen. Amen. So in closing, he's just simply saying to you and I today, what? Can we wake up? Just examine yourselves and be ready. Just be ready. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. Father, you called us, Father God, to wake up. Lord, I pray right now, Father God, wake me up. Wake me up, Father God. May I be more in tune to you, Father God. May I be more sensitive to your voice. May I be so more sensitive to the leading and guiding, Father God. As your word has declared, the steps of a good man have been ordered by you, and he's to find delight in his way. So, Lord, I pray for everyone that's gathered in this house today, Father God. Father God, that you stir us, Father God. That you stir our hearts and our lives, Father God. Lord, may we put our hands to the plow. May we get busy for your kingdom, Father God, not just to do stuff, Lord Jesus, but to do your will. Not just to get busy, Father God, but to be about the Father's business. So, Father God, as you minister to every heart and every life, and as we check our own hearts and our own lives, Father God, your last call was for us to be ready. Father, none of us are ready unless you. You're the one that says, many are called, but few are chosen, Father God. You've chosen the body here. You've chosen these people, Father God. Now, Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit moves upon their hearts and their lives, Father God. Incite us, Father God. Incite us to action. Lord, and we'll never cease to give you all glory and all honor and all praise. Can we all just stand in the closing moments of the service?